Yesterday, Florida's Supreme Court did something of an about-face and ruled that prosecutors can move forward with death penalty cases despite unresolved constitutional issues with the state's death penalty law. Last fall, the court issued two rulings that found Florida's new death penalty law unconstitutional because it requires only 10 jurors rather than a unanimous 12 to sentence someone to death. In one of the two rulings, the court also said that the law could not be applied to pending prosecutions, which effectively put all capital cases in Florida on hold. State lawmakers say they're planning to take up the issue as soon as the legislative session begins next month. Wilson Sayre, of Here and Now contributor WLRN in Miami, has been exploring what that limbo has meant for people affected by the death penalty. Yesterday, we heard the story of one of the inmates on Florida's death row. Today, we meet two women who lost loved ones to violent crime and who hold very different views on capital punishment.
It took almost 30 years from when her sister's murderer was convicted for Deborah Knights to find herself in the execution chamber watching him slowly die. She sat in the front row with her brother, Sal Cox, who cried throughout the 11 minutes it took to declare Robert Henry dead. I was in the back row, but I could still see him constantly wiping his eyes. His sister, Deborah, rubbed his back. Afterwards, across the street from the prison, she read a statement while her brother, Sal, was still crying.
We, the family of Janet Cox Thermidor, will always cherish the memory of her life. Janet was a devoted daughter, sister, aunt, niece, cousin, and a friend to many. We will always cherish the memory of her life that was taken so soon by a demon from hell. Today should be closure, but how can you forget the brutal way in which two lives were taken without remorse? Our family would never be able to experience what life would have or could have been like had Janet been here. It's our prayer as a family that one day we will be able to forgive, but we will never forget.
Deborah, her mom, her sister, and her brother, they went up and stayed the night not far from the prison. Only Deborah and her brother actually went to the execution.
I wanted him to get the electric chair. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted him to suffer. He didn't suffer. I mean, you know, they stuck a needle in there and he went to sleep, basically.
Deborah was the one who had to go to the coroner's office and identify her sister. Janet had been burned so badly she was almost unrecognizable. And that image and the thoughts of Janet's last moments are part of Deborah now. Deborah says if there wasn't a recording of Janet saying Henry's name before she died, maybe she would have reservations about the death penalty. Hearing her sister's voice, that was 100% confirmation that this was the man who murdered Janet.
When you take somebody's life, I mean, why should you have your life? You've taken something that you can't give back. Just to take somebody's life, just to do it because you can do it, yeah, your life should be taken. I always believe that and still do.
But what didn't feel like justice to her and her family was how long it took for the sentence to be carried out. That was 30 years Henry's family had the opportunity to visit, talk, and hug him.
He was still breathing. We would have to go to a graveyard and look at a tombstone to visit my sister.
During those three decades, her family went to all the appeals, hearings, and trials that came after Robert Henry's initial sentence. Former Florida Supreme Court Justice Charlie Wells believed these kinds of cases just took too long, and he tried to do something about that.
I would remark on several occasions that the case would be going on so long that the only person that was still alive would be the person on death row. Every case went through the system at least twice, and usually three or four or five times.
He says during that time, lawyers for the state, defense lawyers, and judges would change.
There would be instances in which cases were just sitting in the circuit court for 6, 7, 8 years with no attention at all.
He tried a lot of different things to unstick cases. He started a class that judges who tried capital cases were required to take. He streamlined the process for the paperwork going through the Florida Supreme Court. But these cases still don't move much faster than they did back then. Part of this is there's so many things an inmate can challenge. The drugs used in lethal injection, whether their lawyers did their jobs correctly, new evidence that could be looked at. 2 years after Robert Henry's execution, a photo of Janet hangs by Deborah's front door.
Oh my God, this is the old one. I don't think of that.
The old photograph has fallen down in its frame. It's yellowed and part of the image has peeled off. It's a formal portrait. Janet's sitting sideways with her head held high and a big smile on her face.
So when was this photo?
I think this is not long before her death.
And Deborah, she can look at this picture and not get upset. She says the execution almost 3 years ago gave her that freedom.
You know, it's finished. It's done. I don't have to worry about him coming back for appeals. You know, I don't want to have to hear about them, you know, in articles about him and whatnot. It's over. I've had the closure that I needed, you know. And, you know, you get little memories, but then you can laugh. You can smile about it. Say, oh, look at Janet, this and that. But at one time, you couldn't do that.
Despite the 30 years it took, Deborah Knights would still rather have this flawed system than nothing at all. But that's not true for everyone.
Name one good thing that comes out of somebody getting executed. To me, it makes more victims.
Darlene Farah is at the very start of the process Deborah Knights and her family are beginning to put behind them. Darlene's 20-year-old daughter, Shelby, was killed while working at a Metro PCS store. This happened in July of 2013 in Jacksonville, Florida. Shelby's killer was caught and has confessed to the killing. And almost from the start, Darlene has been fighting against the death penalty for her daughter's killer.
I've always raised my kids, two wrongs don't make a right. And Shelby and I have had many discussions about it.
And she was against the death penalty?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was something we always said.
I mean, you're often, people in your position are often the argument. People say it's for the victims' families. Yeah.
They don't know what the victim's family goes through.
She says other families who've had relatives murdered have gotten in touch, saying they support her push to prevent the death penalty in her daughter's case. She's heard from people who didn't realize that death penalty trials are often longer than non-death penalty trials. There are more appeals. It takes years or decades for it all to be over, like in Deborah Knight's case. Darlene just wants to be done with it. In Jacksonville, the case has been in the press constantly, and that's been hard on Darlene and her family. She says she wants the prosecution to accept a plea deal the defense has offered up. 2 life sentences plus 20 years. No parole, no appeals.
Every time we have a court date, I start shutting down. My son, we all grieve differently. So it's like we're all trying to prepare ourselves and psych ourselves up. I know I don't want him to get the death penalty, but it takes everything out of me when I look at him. I don't feel sorry for him because he was 21 when he did it. It was premeditated. He knew what he was doing.
Over the past year, Darlene's daughter's case has gone pretty much nowhere. Because of the various legal challenges that threw Florida's death penalty into limbo, the state hasn't been able to move cases forward. Despite all of this, Darlene Farah is glad it's getting harder for people to be sentenced to death in Florida. She's become a sort of activist against the death penalty. She's spoken to legislators and nonprofit groups and says she'll keep doing that even after her daughter's case is resolved.
My job will not be done till the changes are made.
For Darlene, closure isn't going to be exacted by the courts. That will come between her and her daughter Shelby's killer.
He wants to talk to me, and I wanted to talk to him. Which that right there alone will bring me a little bit of closure.
The lawyers don't think it's a good idea before the trial. Both sides still have a case to mount, and death is still on the table.
I want him to know about the person's life he took away. I want him to know that if we knew him before this happened, what Shelby would have been wanting to do.
For now, Darlene is waiting. New sentencing rules have been introduced in the Florida House and Senate. Some defense lawyers, though, are worried the bills don't do enough to deal with outstanding problems with the death penalty. Questions about the list of things that can send you to the execution chamber and what should happen to the people who've already been sentenced to death continue to plague the state's death penalty. Farah will be going to the Capitol and asking the legislature to abolish the death penalty altogether. But in Florida, that's unlikely to happen. For Here and Now, I'm Wilson Sayre in Miami.